Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim, and our guest today is Matt Easton. So Matt, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hey, my name is Matt Easton. I am the founder of Easton University. Easton University is the most effective sales coaching in the world. We've got a different approach to how we help sales reps, business development folks, entrepreneurs like yourself, be able to get their ideas across and produce more for both themselves and their business. It's great to be here. Thanks, guys, for having me.
So how did you get this idea for starting your business?
How did I get this idea for starting my business? Let me see. I might even have it. Stand by one second. There it is. This is a Matchbox 1979 Porsche Turbo. And this exact toy in 1980 is how I got the idea for starting my business. I was a child of a single mom raising two boys, she was making $4,000 a year working part-time at a church. So we didn't have a lot of money. Things were not great. And this was one of my few toys. This is it right here. Just playing with it in the mud one day and I heard this noise and I looked up, Kelly Green 79 Turbo. And being a broke kid, those didn't drive by very often. So, of course, I was unsupervised. I ran after it and saw it outside of a house and thought it was the person that owned that house because that was the only person that lived by me that had any semblance of wealth, an attorney by the name of John Carroll. It was not John Carroll's Porsche. It was somebody that was selling to him. A guy came out in a suit and I was like, Mister, classic right out of a movie. Mister, is this your car? He's like, yeah, it is. And I remember thinking to myself, he must be a rock star or a drug dealer. I don't know. I'd never seen a Porsche in real life before. And I said, Mister, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm in sales. I said, wow, that's incredible. And he's like, it's not such a big deal. I said, what do you sell? He says, computers. I said, wow, it must be the best computer in the world. And here's where my life changed. He said, no, kid. And he used some bad language. I hope it's okay if I use it with you guys. Yeah. I was 8 years old. Shocked me that somebody said this in 1980. He said, no, kid, it's a piece of shit. And I think then I felt kind of bad because I knew Mr. Carroll. I was like, I hope Mr. Carroll didn't just waste money on a computer. He says, but here's the cool thing about being in sales. I work for a company called Texas Instruments. The machine that nobody can sell is a TI-99-4. I'm the only one in the country that can sell them. And I make about $200 for everyone I sell. And I sell a lot of them because I had the ability to figure out what this computer does really well and certain people, how it can improve their life. And he said, do you know anything about Mr. Carroll? I said, yeah, sort of. He's an attorney. He goes, no, but you know about him. And he did this. And anybody that knew Mr. Carroll that did this knew what you were talking about because Mr. Carroll had Parkinson's. And you would see Mr. Carroll driving and he would have the twitch. And he says, yeah, Mr. Carroll is afflicted with a disease called Parkinson's and he's an attorney. I said, yeah. I knew both of those. He said, well, here's the thing, kid. He's got an office in Westminster, Colorado, about 45 minutes from Boulder. And he's a legal attorney. So he has billable hours. Well, he has to take medication for his Parkinson's every day at 3:00. So he is left with a choice. Does he leave the office early because he's unable legally, cannot drive his car after he's taken his medication? That would end badly for everybody involved. So does he leave the office at 2 p.m. to make it home by 3 to take his medication? Or does he take his medication at work and have to pay somebody to chauffeur him home? Here's what we're doing for Mr. Carroll today. I've installed a TI-99-4 at his home. He's going to work until right up to the latest that he can work. He's going to drive home at about 2:00. He's going to take his medication in the comfort of his home. And then he's going to finish what we call calendar entries. So what that is, son, is he's taking all the meetings that he's had for the day and he's entering them using this computer into a format that his bookkeeper can then bill the client. This is allowing him to work until 5, 6 p.m. uninterrupted. We're changing his life today. And I was like, wow. I was like, man, as a kid that I went from that morning, no hope, playing with a Matchbox car in the mud, to wait a minute, not only can you drive a 79 turbo selling things to people, even if it's not the best thing in the world, if you take the time to learn about your product, but more importantly, the people that you're talking to, their current situation and how you can help them, you can make a pretty decent living helping people. And so that changed my entire life at 8 years old. He was really cool, by the way. He popped the front of this, which there's no engine in the front. And I had told him that I was suffering from dyslexia. It was actually a neurological thing. Once I had my own businesses as a teenager, I had plenty of money to get the best doctors. I had some eyesight issues that I fixed, but I was like, I can't spell, I can't read. He's like, never say anything bad about yourself. And he pulled out a Speak and Spell, which was the hot toy of 1980s, $79 toy. And my mom made $4,000. There was no way I was getting one of those. And I was like, man, my brother's going to beat me up. Take it. He's like, come here, kid. He gave me a second one. He's like, here, give this one to your bro. Stay in school, learn how to sell. So from that moment on, I went out and sought after, because I was unsupervised, because I had a bike and the public transportation was cheap back then. I was the kid. I was known in Boulder. I was notorious. I was the little kid that would go to businesses and stand outside and say, hey, do you guys need your rocks swept up, your weeds pulled, or do you need your Christmas tree lights, or your dog poop? They're like, how much do you want to make? And I was smart back then. And my answer was always zero. I don't want anything. I don't want any money. I just want to learn. Because I didn't have a dad, right? And what they were talking about in school was not helping me. And so I started hanging out with business owners, judges, inventors, people that were doing monster things back in Boulder. And the weird thing was, I started to learn that whether or not you were trying to close, let's say you're Frank Shorter, getting the Boulder race going, and you were talking to Bank Boulder about a $1 million sponsorship to sponsor the race, was really weird to me. Mr. Shorter asked for that money in a very similar way that an inventor would ask for somebody to give funds for their invention, that a judge would ask to get people to come together. And I started noticing patterns. A lot of you guys being in AI and stuff, a lot of this is algorithmic patterns of there's a right way and a wrong way to ask a question. There's a right way and a wrong way to proceed. There's a right way and a wrong way to do pretty much anything. And what I started to notice with these successful people is these patterns just became evident to me. Boom, 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 boom. Here's how you ask for something. Here's how you follow up with something. Here's how you proceed. And that allowed me, you guys are too young to know this, but like there was a thing in the back of like Car and Driver magazine where you could buy government auction guides. So if you wanted to get Porsche turbos cheap from seized vehicles from government auctions, that was me at 16 years old, because I had taken this inspiration from these people. I'm like, man, find a business. And I'm like, there's a lot of people. And that started my fascination with cars. I've blown way too much money on cars over my life. And I was like, man, there's probably other people like me that want cars. Government auction guide. I'll go to the library and I'll look up where all these places have these auctions. All I have to do is catalog that information one place, save up enough money to put out an ad in the back of Car and Driver. Embarrassingly enough, the Playboy ads did three times better than the Car and Driver ads. But I had ads in Playboy, Car and Driver. And at 16 years old, every day, mailbox checks, $19.99, boom, 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 boom. All of this is what I learned from just watching people do things. So I went off, paid my way through college, went and worked for Fortune 500 companies, all the big ones. A lot of them, I still hold records for sales today. And then opened my own businesses. I had a marketing company, which focused in multifamily housing, and noticed that people that had apartments did a terrible job of answering the phone. Worst salespeople in the whole world, by the way. No disrespect to my leasing university people. So I started leasing university way back 10 years ago. It was a watered down version of Easton University, teaching them how to sell. And now I have Easton University, which is where I spend most of my time. I still own those other businesses, but I spend most of my time now teaching people the things that I started learning at 8 years old. And it's amazing when you take people and organizations and just change their process, even the slightest bit, how all of a sudden things start to come together and they're able to get their goals met ahead of schedule.
So what would you say was your biggest challenge when starting your sales career?
Yeah. So my biggest challenge starting my sales career, and a lot of people would say this isn't a challenge. Oh, woo-hoo-woo. Rookie of the year, salesperson of the year. But my biggest challenge and my first major, I'll say the name, props to my people out there. I don't want to get myself in trouble. The first big company that recruited me, and I sold, I had this Pendulum Sportswear and Design. I should have never sold it, but I sold it because my mom, she didn't have a lot of good advice, but she thought, boy, you got to work for a big company. So I shouldn't have taken that advice. But I loved my time at ADP. It was ADP, the payroll company. You guys have all heard of ADP. My biggest challenge, though, was sadly, ADP probably spent, and this is 1998, they probably spent $60,000 training me that first year. I mean, they spared no expense to train their people. My biggest challenge was attempting to shift gears and do the things that their sales coaches said to do. Most of it was complete garbage. And this is not exclusive to ADP. This is not what ADP was doing. They were going with the stuff of the day. And I'm not going to say what the stuff of the day was. You guys, some of these books are still around. A lot of these people are still around. There are some good tidbits here and there, but this kind of stuff works in a vacuum. And a lot of it, if you were going on a date with somebody and you said something like, you know, Cosm, when I hear I need to think about it, it typically means one of two things. Either you don't have the authority to make the purchase, or there's something you're afraid to tell me. If you said that on a date with somebody, right? Hey, would you like to go out to dinner again sometime? No, I'm all set. You know, when I hear somebody tell Matt Easton, I don't want to go out to dinner, it usually means you would get slapped in the frickin' face, right? And isn't that weird that there is all this training out there, but if you applied 95% of it to your personal life, I hope people aren't acting that way, you'd be a scumbag. You would not have any friends. You would never go out on a date. But it's bizarre, and dating and sales are vastly more similar than they are separate, right? If you're going to have a date with somebody, you want to figure out what is their current situation? What's important to them? Where do they want to take their life? And a skillful person, which by the way, I'm not the best looking person in the world. And at the time I had some semblance of, I have the greatest woman in the world, at least according to me, supermodel wife, because I understood how to have conversations with people when I meet them. And we didn't talk about me the entire time, right? We talked about her, her hopes, her dreams, her wants, her needs. What gets her excited? What is she interested in, right? And then, hey, man, this was really interesting. Does it make sense for you and I to, I appreciate you having coffee with me. This is, I'm not sure if it's for you, but I've got tickets to the polo match this weekend. Does it make sense for you to join me, right? Like when you understand, it's the same thing, right? And this is the same way we have to manage our relationship, whether you want to take somebody out to coffee or you guys are trying to get venture capitalists, angel investors to give you $20 million for your business. You can't say things like, you know, when I hear we're not giving you the money, it means one of two things. And you guys also can't get together in your boardroom and go, what stage is this deal in? And unfortunately, you know, the two mistakes that companies make, and hopefully some of them are out there listening, and whether they come see me at Easton University or not, they need to stop making these two mistakes. 90% of their meetings, they're talking about what's supposed to happen, right? Mm-hmm. What stage is this in? What's going to happen? What are you going to do today? I don't know. What are you going to do today? Right? These conversations should be, if I'm looking for investors, right, you should be able to tell me, why would they want to invest in us? What's their current situation with their capital? Why are we a fit for their mix, for their investment mix? If you can't answer that articulately, you don't have a deal, right? What's the next step? That's what I want to know. I don't want to know what stage the deal is in. I want to know what the next step is, right? Dan's talking to Cosm on Tuesday at 2:30. He's going to call me on my mobile 720-660-3202. If I don't hear from him by 4:30, we've both agreed that I'm going to call him at that time, right? Like, it's that simple. So that's the first mistake. If you sit in on any meeting, and you guys probably, I said, it's brutal. But you sit in on these meetings and it's just a round robin of everybody saying what's going to happen, but they don't, it's not a next step. It's what they think is going to happen. It's not set in stone. And then the other mistake that every company, investor, and entrepreneur makes, you get a great idea, a great product, and you don't realize this one hard, fast rule. And that is this: anything in life, everything in life requires much more work to sell it than you would ever dream possible. Nothing sells itself. I'm going to say that again because it's vital for you guys to understand. And if you don't believe me, go talk to my friend Elon and about all the sleepless nights when his bank account was down to about $6 with Tesla, right? And look at what that stock's done. You think it's a cool company or not, you can't dispute the fact that that's a juggernaut of a company. Yet they almost went bankrupt time and time and time again because people underestimate the amount of effort required to move your ideas across the goal line, which is why there's plenty of multimillionaire, deca-millionaire, billionaire people that are also good looking with six-pack abs sitting at home lonely at night, right? Nothing sells itself. You're still going to have to communicate. You're still going to have to basically give somebody an explanation of why they should do the thing you want them to do, whether it's buy your electric vehicle or go out on a date with you. And you have to be skillful in doing that. And every company screws that up. It's an afterthought. They'll bring in the 20-year-old with the gold MacBook and they'll have seven meetings to talk about what color beige the logo should be and not one meeting on who are we going to call and what are we going to say. And by the way, we're going to get there. Let's just be real, guys. We're going to get their voicemail 97 out of 100 phone calls. What are we going to say when we leave that voicemail? On the three that answer, what are we going to say there? And until you can answer those questions and the following questions of, we do let them know, hey, Dan, it's Matt Easton with Easton University. You and I are connected on LinkedIn. I've got an idea that I'd love to get your opinion on. Could you give me a call on my mobile 720-660-3202? When Dan does call us back, what's the idea, right? How are we getting Dan's attention? How are we delivering an insight to Dan where Dan's like, holy cow, this is interesting. This is helpful for me, whether I do business with us or not. Then how do we turn that idea into an opportunity? How do we move that opportunity through the pipeline? How do we prevent it from getting stuck and rotting to death in our pipeline? How do we close it? And then how do we rinse and repeat? Until you can answer every single one of those questions, take the person with the gold MacBook and the beige logos and say, thank you very much. We will be calling you later. Okay. Until you can definitively answer that, which I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say 99, probably 100% of the people, if I ask you right now, what do you say in a voicemail? They're, you know what they're all going to say? It depends, bro. No, it doesn't depend. If I ask a United Airlines pilot, how do you land the plane? He will tell me. She will tell me. Flaps, right? If the EFIS says, warning, check airspeed, right? Like sales, business, dating, it's all the same thing. And if you're just winging it, right? This is why most businesses crash and burn. And I wish there was a way, and maybe you guys, because you guys are AI specialists, maybe you guys could figure out a way where AI could go out there and find all these good ideas for people like me that are sitting in the graveyard because nobody could figure out how to sell them, where I could buy them on the cheap and install a proper sales process. For every one company that makes it, there's 10,000 that if they had a better sales process and the people had a system, and didn't have leadership that were like, Dan, you're lucky to be on board. Here's your signing bonus and your goodie bag with our logos, with your hat and your sunglasses. By the way, show up to the all hands breakfast meeting on Tuesday because Lorraine is going to be rolling out the new logo and you're going to like that color of beige. There's a ton of companies like that. And if they had just been, hey, guys, pump the brakes, right? There'll be time for breakfast meetings and beige logos. Dan, welcome aboard. What are you going to say when you call people? Who are you going to call? And what are you going to say when you get their voicemail? And what are you going to ask them when they call you back? Right? Like, I could save all, it just makes me sad because I could save every one of those companies and the people would love them because I don't teach anything pressure or manipulation, but there's just far too, sales is an afterthought in 2023. And with artificial intelligence and everything, sales is the one thing that everybody's going to need to focus on. Because in my opinion, you guys have forgotten more about this stuff than I'll ever know. But with all of the great, wonderful innovations in artificial intelligence, it's rapidly becoming less of a value if you're the person that has the answers. In my opinion, where the world is going is you need to be the person that asks the right question. You will have support that will give you the answer. It's the person that can think of the question. The question is the problem. What should we be asking? And that's what sales is all about, right? Where AI, where technology can help is like me as a sales rep, if I'm asking some, think about the wonders of technology and where that's about to be when I have a conversation with Dan in real time and I say something to Dan, like, what's most important to you guys, right? Well, say the monster thing that we're working on right now is employee onboarding. When you say employee onboarding, can you give me a specific example of what's going on? Yeah, there's an extra, you know, there's 2 weeks before they actually even can do their job because we've got all this. How much would you like to cut that down by? I would like to get that down to, I mean, honestly, our goal, if we could hire somebody and have them up and running and productive within 4 business days, I could have artificial intelligence running in the background and be able to spit out to me. By the way, if you can take Dan's employee, if the HR department at Dan Incorporated can take these employees and get them productive at day 4 instead of day 14, this is $3.79 billion in top line revenue to the company. And this is where we're going with technology. Technology is going to be able to give me the answer in terms of monetization. Here's how much time we'd save. Here's how much additional revenue we'd bring in. By the way, you might not have noticed this, but according to the data that I'm looking at right now, if employees are productive, every day we can get them productive, the likelihood of them quitting their job drops by 7%. How much are you guys spending on turnover right now? And now all of a sudden, I could have AI literally in my ear giving me all of the supporting stuff, but it's not going to be able to ask the question. And even if it did, people aren't going to trust it. We want a throat to choke at the end. We want another human. We are a long ways away from me doing any sort of large scale deal without at least one human being that goes, hey, hi, I get it, right? My name's Matt. We solve monster problems at Easton University. I believe based on everything that you're telling me, you're a perfect client for us. I'd like to ask you some questions around how much of that time you want to compress. And by the way, if this is not something that ROIs, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. You won't have to kick me out of your office. But by what you're saying, it sounds like we might have just stumbled upon almost $4 billion in additional revenue for the organization. Does it make sense for us to explore this a little bit more? Yes, right? You need a human being to lead that charge. We're a long ways away from pilotless airplanes. The problem is sales is going the other direction. People think, oh, I don't need salespeople. What we need is beige logos. And that's just not it.
By the way, your thoughts on AI are impressive, but you know, your knowledge can also be converted into AI. Like there are many times, in fact, there are many things that cannot be found on the internet. As you said, there are many things you cannot get from out of the AI bot as well. So, but there are a lot of things what are in your chest, in my chest, but still we can collect them all in one AI system.
So yes.
On the other hand, I'm talking about all these things because I'm a tech guy in this meeting. I have history of development.
Yeah. So, and I saw it and I heard it and I felt it. And Tesla needs to send me a check. And my wife will back me up on this because she's the first one that saw us. And I believe the I don't want to say guy, let's say entity. I believe the entity's name was Andrew. But there was this thing going around social media. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Was Tesla's new AI customer service bot. And he reached out to a potential customer. And I don't think that customer was aware that they were not talking to a human being. And somebody involved in that project had received their CMSC, their Certified Master Sales Consultant credential, because he was saying the things that I teach to say. It makes perfect sense. Does it make sense to get you down here for a test drive of the Tesla? Right? Well, no, right now. Got it. What's a good next step? Well, I'd like to talk it over with my wife. Right. Well, what's a good next step for us? Could you circle back with me in about a week? Oh, I was like, oh my God. They've downloaded my stuff. So yes, yes, I didn't get the payment on that, but about 70% of that call is exactly the kind of stuff that I've been saying for three decades. So yeah, I agree with you. Now, here's where I just don't think we're there yet is on deals of significance, I still want to know there's a human being somewhere there. I don't know if companies are ready to pull the trigger on a 6 or 7 figure deal or even a 10,000 plus deal without knowing there's some human being in there that they can call and yell at. If it didn't, but we'll find out here pretty soon. The problem is are the people programming the AI, were they hanging out with me in the 80s in Boulder, Colorado? Or were they in the room with the what stage is your deal in people? Because depending on which camp they believe is right, hey, buy or die, pressure. I'm just following up. I'm just checking in. If you've got 15 minutes of your time, I'd like to show you how we can reduce your expenses by 10%. If AI goes down that route, it's going to crash and burn as bad as these reps that come in and out of the industry. And it's going to be that particular application will be in the graveyard with other applications that I'd like to revive with the right sales process.
So what are the benefits? Like we have discussed a lot, but still to be a bit more particular, what are the benefits to investing in technology, especially in AI for your business?
For me?
Yeah.
The benefits there are tremendous. I don't want to get into our kind of top secret stuff, but we have benefits in terms of in our social media stuff, knowing what type of keywords and back end. That's all work that normally I would have had to have paid a person. Now I don't have to do that. And honestly, I believe the work is better than a human. The benefits that I'm waiting for are the things that I just talked about, like having research integrated into speech. Like right now I'm going to have a meeting with Dan and we're going to do, because I teach one of the pillars of Eastern University is we're going to monetize this deal. So we're going to get our arms around Dan installing this, let's say it's a piece of safety software that allows reporting to be done at a oil refinery. Well, that doesn't seem, well, how do I monetize that? Easy. Have you ever had OSHA show up and find you? Yes. How many times? About twice a year. What's the average cost to fine? $17,000. Okay. Who does the reporting right now? Our mechanical engineers. How much time are they spending on that? They spend about 4 hours a week on reports. Are they ever upset because of the report? All the time. Have you ever lost a mechanical engineer? Yes. When was the last time you lost a mechanical engineer? Last week, Todd Phillips. How long had Todd been with the organization? 4 years. How long is it going to take you to replace Todd? A year, if we're lucky to find somebody. We're in Houston, Texas. A mechanical engineer for an oil refinery is like a very, very marketable thing. They're hard to get. How much are you going to spend on recruiters on that? These are all things that in my sales, then I can go back and if I did some time, go, guy, I'm looking at this. If we can prevent one engineer from quitting their job because they hate these reports, that's going to save us 200 grand. We're going to save 30 grand on OSHA fines every year. We're going to give the existing engineers, you said you have 7 of them here at the plant, 4 hours of their time per week back. They bill out at about $150 an hour. If I could have AI, I don't know what this number is yet. And right now I have to go back and do it, but I believe that we're not too far away from AI being able to assist me the same way it would assist a surgeon, right? And go, hey, there's an artery over there. We want to steer clear of that. And the reason why the blood pressure is dropping is because there's not enough sodium in the patient. Add some sodium to the drip. You're going to be okay there. I believe this is a lot like a physician, and AI could start empowering sales. Unfortunately, a lot of these companies spending all of their money with AI doing the CRM. What stage is the deal in? The reporting back to the ownership. And it, by the way, it's a lot of, I'm just going to be real. A lot of that is lies. If I put garbage into Salesforce, it doesn't matter how much AI spits out a report to the CEO and the board. It was garbage. Dan and I never had that conversation, right? That's where sales coaching needs to make a cultural shift to say, guys, we're pushing the reset button. Nobody lying if you didn't have a meeting. If you had a meeting, have a meeting. If you didn't, you didn't. Okay. But this would be like the equivalent. Where we're at right now is the equivalent of trying to manage a professional football team or professional cricket team and having athletes that are going, oh yeah, I went to practice. And it's clear to everybody come game time that this person was lying. So that's where I'm hoping AI goes, is instead of assisting people with reports, it starts assisting people with conversations. And I know we can get there.
For sure. So Matt, if somebody wanted to reach out to you or get in contact with you and your company, what's the best way for them to find you?
EastonUniversity.com is our company. 800-628-1456 is our phone number, but my wife says I need friends. I love anything sales, as you can probably tell. I'll give them my mobile right here, right now, 720-660-3202. Call me, text me. Hi, I'll be friends with you. If you want to get better, if you want your team to get better and you're tired of hearing the same stuff about, we just need another report, and you think maybe you let a few people go that you could have saved, or you have a business that still has a heartbeat, but it's getting faint, I'd love to talk to you about some ways you can revitalize either your career, or your operation, or your team.
Sounds great. Well, Matt, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
That was an awesome meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. Keep doing the good work, guys. Let me know if you can send me a link, Dan, when you get it, I'll try and drive some traffic your way.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.